Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans chapter 10. How will they know if we don't go? How will they know if we don't go? Karen, I'm going to set this back over here. That's our theme. As we began to look at the next 6 to 8 months, how we got to June, I don't understand. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we had Christmas decorations up. And so we are past that, sir. I'm not sure. I don't know that Clark or whoever it was got the new slide. So you can just take that back down this morning because that's not going to be where we are. How will they know if we don't go is going to be the direction in which that we are headed today. Can I just share this with you this morning? I was talking to Brother Pablo a few minutes ago in the back, and I don't know if you've sensed this or not. We have lots of guests this morning and some folks that haven't been here even since we started this thing back in January. But can I tell you my take on this morning? This is not the same church today as it was when I came in January. Let me tell you one of the reasons why. As I walk through, back through, and into the, even going into the restroom and back, do you know what I saw? I saw groups of people just spending time together, talking and laughing with an energy and a sense of purpose and a sense of direction. And I'm going to be honest with you, in December when I got here and started looking, that was not as evident as it is today. God has been at work in your lives preparing us for what comes next. And that slide that we put up that began in January and ended last month, it was about a new season and a new beginning. And we are now not looking forward to that new season and that new beginning, but we're beginning to walk through that in the reality of what God has done, is doing, and will do at 242 Church. Help me. Dos, cuatro y dos. That's all I got except don't estar al baño. Beyond that, I'm in trouble. So that's where's the bathroom? Beyond that, I don't have anything. But in the midst of that, we're going to talk about this morning. Three things I want us to see very quickly. And by the way, if you're a guest, this morning will be a bridge. Don't expect this if you come back to be as short as it is this morning because of everything going on. In Romans chapter 10, the writer says this beginning in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. Three things this morning. In chapter 10, verse 13, there is a statement beginning in verse 14 in the first half of verse 15, there is a set of questions. And then in chapter 10, verse 15b, there is an answer and a command. And so we're going to quickly walk through this morning as a challenge to our church. Now, when I say that, I don't want you to get all like, yeah, he's talking to them this morning. When I'm talking to the church, I'm talking to you. It's not the folks on this side, so you get a pass. By the way, it's not the folks on that side, so you get a pass. I'm not talking to the folks on the back row. Karen, you guys are up here. I'm not just talking to the folks on the front row. I want you to know, if you're a part of this church body, I'm speaking to you this morning. More than I'm speaking to you, God is speaking to you through His Word. And so He makes a statement that's interesting. He says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, period. Not question mark, not maybe. By the way, the word whosoever comes from three Greek words, and it literally means this: any, all, every, or the whole. That doesn't leave anything out. It does not matter your language, it does not matter your ethnicity, it does not matter your age, it does not matter how good looking you are, or maybe how not good looking you are. It has to do with the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that, by the way, whosoever, guess where that word is found? Right here. He says this, whosoever, the first word is all, any, every, or the whole. The second word, it comes from the Greek word which means which, and the third one which means possibility. That means this: God does not say there's a possibility if it's not true. He does not play eeny, meeny, miny, mo. These will go to heaven, but to hell you will go. Every person who's ever been born comes with the ability and the possibility to have a relationship with the living, holy God. Let me help us with that. It's not based upon performance. Because if it were, guess what? None of us would be part of the whosoever. Because not any of us are sitting in this building perfect this morning. We're not going to make a list and compare. Thank you. Yes. It's none of your business about my stuff. Whosoever, what? Will call. That word literally means to invoke or to give testimony. That's not like during your prayer time when we called on the phone and had come. It means this. It means that whoever will stands and gives testimony. What kind of testimony? Testimony of my insufficiency. Testimony of my failure. Testimony of my inadequacy. And then flip that around, a testimony of His sufficiency, of His mercy, of His grace, of His love, of His forgiveness. In all of those things, whosoever will give testimony about who God is and how great Christ is and what He's done for me, if that becomes a part of who I am, guess what happens? They shall be saved. Saved. That word is used 110 times in the New Testament. And it constantly and continually means this: being in relationship, an eternal relationship between a man and the eternal God of heaven. Saved. I know this may be hard for some of you. You didn't get saved to be a Baptist. You didn't get saved to be a Texan. You got saved to be a child of God. Because why? Because without Christ, I'm utterly and hopelessly lost, separated for eternity. No matter how much I do, no matter how much I give, no matter how much I try to earn it, I cannot reach that because I'm broken beyond fixing except for the love of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a statement. But then he turns around and asks a question. Here. By the way, let me come back to this. This was not Paul's. Paul didn't originate that. He quotes that. If you go back and look, it comes out of Isaiah 52:7. Just stay with me for 30 seconds. Don't go there and look. We don't have time. In Isaiah 52, the nation is in turmoil. Everything's gone to hell in a handbasket. The community's gone bad. The politics are bad. The culture's bad. The economy is bad. Everything's in ruin. And in the middle of that, some people began to stand up and proclaim the good news. Three things that you see there. They did it how? They did it with joy. They did it with great enthusiasm. They did it with great authenticity. And God said, because of what they do, the world will be changed. The same thing happened during the first century. The same thing can happen in the 21st century. We don't share the gospel because we have to. We share the gospel because not only do we get to, but because the world needs it. And we have the privilege of being the hands and feet for that. They shall be saved. Number two is a set of questions. Three quick questions. One, how shall they call on those on Him who they've not believed? How shall they call? What does that word call mean? It means to invoke. Oh, by the way, where did we just read that? Verse 13, the promise. See, God doesn't make a promise that's not true. Even if we don't do what He says. Then He said, how are they going to call? How are they going to know if somebody doesn't share with them? If somebody doesn't come and simply say to them, you know, whatever. Listen, nobody goes to heaven because they're good. No. Nobody goes to heaven because they go to church. Nobody goes to heaven because they don't cuss or dip or chew. You go to heaven because somebody shared with you the gospel, and in turn I recognized my need and I turned and I began to call on Him. But how will they call unless they have been unless they've believed. How should they believe? Number two, unless they have what? How should they believe on him in whom they have not heard? By the way, believe is not, I believe that there is a God. The Greek there literally means I have a faith in it. I have a trust in it. I have a belief that goes beyond just simply some kind of cognitive reasoning. You see, you practice faith when you sat down in that chair this morning. Do you know how I know? I didn't see a one of you check to see if it was going to hold you up. See, if you thought that chair wasn't going to hold you up, you'd say, hey, Joe, you can come and sit in this chair. What am I saying? Faith, everybody has the ability of faith. It's to put my trust in. It's to stand in reliance upon. How shall they believe if they have not, what? Heard. To hear. How do they hear? Well, you know, God's out there, and just kind of in the nebula, or even the evidence of space, or da-da-da. Romans says that the very invisible nature and power makes it impossible for folks that are in their right mind to say there is no God. How shall they know to be saved unless there is what? Some of y'all think when you say this, you're going to get off the hook. Look at the last part of that. How shall they hear without a preacher? That's your job. It really and truly, that word in the Greek literally means this: one who is a heralder or a proclaimer. So what does Matthew 28 say? Somebody referenced that earlier. Go therefore, as you're going therefore, who? The church, every single believer is someone who is called to herald. By the way, you are heralding every day. Depending on how you herald will depend upon how many folks will come to know Christ as far as being able to hear the message and respond to it. To have faith in it. The word preacher there is not the office, but the concept of proclaimer. Let me just share this with you. The word in Greek later is the word that when we get a little farther over, it's the same word from which the word apostle comes from. Not the position, but the job duty. I'm not saying everybody that's a heralder is an apostle, but we do the work of proclaiming, of sharing the gospel, of going somewhere. Do you know why apostles did not make good pastors? Because they didn't stay anywhere very long. What he says in this is this: you and I have a great call, a great statement. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how should they do that if there's not someone to hear, if there's not someone to tell, if there's not someone to proclaim? By the way, that word proclaim. Now let me jump down here to verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of great joy. By the way, how beautiful are your feet? I started to ask you to take your shoes off and let us look at your feet this morning, but I decided not to because I've seen some of your feet and they are ugly. Here's what I'm saying. What it says there, it is the action of going. The folks that go have beautiful feet. And why? Because they preach the gospel. What is this? That is the same word you find back up in the previous verse, that they shall preach. That shall preach the gospel of peace and bring great tidings of good joy. Where have you heard that phrase before? Great tidings of good joy. Christmas. Santa Claus didn't say it. The angels, at the annunciation of the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, says the heavens were filled and they brought great tidings of good joy. They didn't just say there was a baby born in Bethlehem. Hey guys, this is going to be really cool. You can go up and check out this brand new baby. It's not like going to the nursery at the hospital. Oh, it's such a cute little... Listen, you need to go to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, because Christ the Messiah has been born. That's the great news. That's good tidings. Why? Because that's the fulfillment of what God promised centuries and centuries ago that you've been looking for expectantly year after year after year, and today it's happened in your sight. Our job is to send the same message. How will they know if we don't go? Good tidings, evangelism, the good news. So here's the question. Are we and have we? I heard this week, and I'm not going to ask anybody to do that, but we're going to do a word picture or a visualization right quick. This is not biblical. This is my application. When I say not biblical, it's not in the text, but it is the truth. You die. The moment later, you find yourself sitting in this seat at the gates of heaven. And God says, welcome home. You heard the herald. You responded to the herald. And by faith in Christ Jesus, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But you're sitting in this chair. Are you with me? Who's going to be standing beside you? That's going to say, thank you. Because of you, I'm here. Wouldn't it be a shame to be sitting in this chair knowing that you're born again? Man, I got saved when I was 20 years old. But nobody else is here. Not my family, not my friends, not my coworkers, not my neighbors. Why? Why? You know why? Because I knew, but I didn't go. Well, my excuses are this, my excuse. Listen, here's what I hope. And I'm not a big Ray Bolts fan. Some of you have no idea, but there's an old song about going to heaven and people lining up to say thank you, thank you, thank you. But we may get there, but if we don't do what we're supposed to do, it will be a day in which that we will have missed the greatest blessings of all eternity besides being saved, is to know that they're here, and they're here, and they're here. And there's going to be folks you never met. You know why? Because one day sitting out here in the front thing at a drive-through prayer, Joe prayed for a red car, and on the way home, the Holy Spirit hit that person and goes, I don't know what's going on, but I need the Lord Jesus. Well, if we weren't there, guess what? I'm saying to our church this morning, as we begin to go forward, here's what we have to do. How will they know what if we don't go? How will they know if we don't go? How shall they hear? How shall they believe? How shall they be saved if we don't do what we're supposed to? See, God works like that. The scary thing is, God has said to us, it's your job. It's your job. See, he's been getting us ready. And does that mean that everybody next week should be out like knocking doors and standing on the street corner, you're going to hell if you don't get saved? I'm not saying that. But God's put you in a sphere of influence in your family, in your coworkers, in your neighbors, whatever it looks like. And my goal is to represent him. And it's not that every time that I come up to Kim's house, pull up, get out of my car, she goes, oh man, that stinking preacher's here again. Hi Kim, I've come to tell you you're going to hell. You need to get saved. What am I saying? I'm saying, you know what? We become friends. We become in a relationship. And at some point in time, that person goes, why are you like you are? What's different about you? How do you deal with this? Can I just tell you the truth? Here's what God did for me. And the good news is, he can do it for you. See, I'm afraid some of us and some folks may say, you know what? I don't want to do that because I really like this. I really like, you pick up something. I would say soccer, but some of y'all like soccer. I'm saying this, in the midst of that, how will they know if we don't go? You know what's going to happen? I'm telling you this now. We've done 6 months of preparation. Now, for the next 6 months, our focus is going to be on the going. We've got some things already lined up about what we want you to do. Easy things. Can you pray for your neighbor? Yes. Absolutely. Do you know your neighbor? Probably not. What if we connect you with a way so that you can know their names without ever having met them, that on a regular basis you could pray for five of them every day? Because you know what happens? I've been praying for Miss Doris for 6 months. I've never met her. She lives four doors down from me. And I walk out to my mailbox one day, she's standing there. So I know her name. She has no clue who I am. Miss Doris, you don't know me. I'm your neighbor down three houses. I just want you to know, part of my faith life is just to let you know, I've been praying for you for a long time. If I can ever help with that, please let me know. Is that hard? You're going to hell, you're going to get saved. That's not it at all. Beginning to connect with those kinds of things. Being there for that, okay? How will they know if we don't go? You know what happens when we go? God begins to work. Can I give you an evidence of that? A few months ago, through the back of our doors, a lady walked through. And I said, how did you find us? She said, online. Listen, it's scary when somebody in your church goes, I need to meet with you after church. You and your wife and the associate pastor and his wife. We walk into this room and sit down. Miss Betty, will you come up here and stand by me for a second? Can you do that? And here's what she said. God has made it abundantly clear. This is where he wants me to have my church home. And so this morning she comes as an evidence of going and sharing to say, this is where God's brought me. This is where God's, and she's gone through some difficult times physically and some other things, but she's coming this morning to be a part of our church family. She's already a part of our church family, but to be recognized by that. Are you excited for her to be here? Amen. Amen. The church will be addressing that with a letter to Calvary Security in a few days, but I am so thrilled that you're here. This is where you're supposed to be. Amen. Amen. So I'll let you go back and sit down. How does she get here? Because we went. There's other folks here. You know why they're here? Because you called them. Because you met them at Walmart. Because you admit. How will they know if we don't go? Are you ready to go? Let's pray. God, this morning, I don't know what you want to do with the rest of the day. I know that our church is primed and ready. God, I ask today that you'd continue to grow us, continue to be with us, continue to do what you do. So that in the days to come, what we see today would simply be a sampling. Continue to woo, continue to call, continue to grow, continue to move. Meet every need we have with resources, with finances, with ministry needs, all those kinds of things. God, just let us not miss the opportunity to see you at work in ways. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.